Introducing the Diderio Autolock, made with locking strap ends for an easy-to-use, clip-on system. When you're done, just pull the latch and slide it off. Keep your guitar on lock with the Diderio Autolock.
Thank you very much.
Hey everybody, this is Ted Drozdowski, Senior Editor for Premier Guitar, and we are here with Joanne Shaw Taylor at City Winery in Nashville, and she and her band are touring behind a brand new record called Reckless Heart, which I think came out on March 17th. So it's pretty fresh, right?
Yeah, I mean, it came out May 17th,
May.
You're right.
See, and then I said I'd say something wrong.
You were pretty right, it was March 15th it came out in the UK.
Okay, cool.
Or even.
I'll take that.
I'm happy with that.
But anyway, we're here to talk about guitars, of course, and amplifiers. And pedals. So let's start with this guitar that's in your hands. We were talking a little bit about it earlier, but I'm not going to give anything away, but there is a story behind this guitar, right?
Yeah, this is Junior. This is my main guitar. So this was my first kind of proper guitar when I was about 15 years old. I was working in a guitar shop in Birmingham, England, where I'm from, and my nan, God bless her, said that whatever money I saved up should match. She knew I was desperate for a good guitar. So I managed to save about 1,500, went down to Denmark Street in London, which is our famous kind of area for guitar shops. Got this one. It's a 66 Esquire, which obviously traditionally Esquires only have the one bridge pickup.
Yep.
The previous owner, I think that's why I got it cheap, had attacked it with a knife and tried to do a home sort of humbucker job. So hence I got it cheap, but it was that kind of, you never want to butcher a vintage instrument, but I knew I was never going to sell this thing. And
yeah, it's a player's model.
Yeah, so got the humbucker put in it, just jazz, Fender jazz humbucker. Got the little switch system, which, it's kind of wasted on me anyway, because I'm actually just a bridge pickup kind of girl.
But cool. Now, is it also coil tapping or coil switching?
It is, yeah.
Excellent.
So it's more versatile than I need, but I love it.
That's a great guitar.
It is. I love it to pieces. The neck's great.
And how long have you had it now?
Giving away my age. I got this when I was 15, so 19 years ago.
Nice. And what do you string your guitars with?
I use Ernie Ball skinny top heavy bottom, which I used to use a lot heavier strings, but I grew up and realized that was really bad for your hands when you've got tiny little girl hands. But yeah, I've been with Ernie Ball for a few years now, and they're a great company to work with, and love the strings.
Cool, and what do you have on the high end? You know, what's the range?
So it's 10, what would it be? 10, 15, 17, 54, 44, 36, is that right? Something like that.
That sounds pretty correct. I would think 54 on the bottom.
And I tune down, so it's not too, you know, too heavy for me.
Cool, are you playing do you down a half step?
Yep, I've been I grew up listening to Steve Ray Vaughan and those Hendrix, so that was a habit I got into, and then just as I've started touring, I find it helps my voice so much night after night to be that just little bit edge off.
Cool.
Probably a security blanket as well. But.
Cool, and also I noticed that when you pick, you use sometimes your fingers, sometimes your pick, and sometimes a hybrid of both.
Yeah.
How did you develop that approach?
It wasn't too thought out. I think it came back because I started playing classical guitar when I was 8. And then made the switch to electric when I was 13. And one of the first guitar players that sort of hugely influenced me was Albert Collins.
Ah, yes.
And so to go from, you know, kind of classical technique to playing with the pick was a bit weird. So I guess at the beginning, I just kind of found it a lot easier to kind of... plus it kind of gives you a lot more, you know, like dynamics.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever see a photo of Albert's fingers?
No.
They're crazy. They're almost pointed.
And
I think
really?
It's because he spent so many years, you know, just ripping into his guitar.
Probably,
it's
yeah.
It's very odd. You
know, I've never looked at that. I've seen all the videos
calluses.
Of him driving the bus.
Yes.
Some of the fun stuff.
Yes,
I haven't
that
looked
was
at
fun.
That.
Yeah, he always drove his own bus, which was great. The first time I saw him, I was at this place called Jonathan Swift's in Boston, and I was playing. I was very excited. I got there hours beforehand, and of course, nobody else was there but my wife.
What year would have this been?
Man, late 80s.
Oh, wow, okay.
You know? Uh-huh. So, as I walked up, there's a big bus parked in front, and I see a pair of double knit checkered pants to go from underneath. And I'm like, oh, someone's working on Albert's bus. And the guy who's under there pushes out a dolly, and I'm looking down at Albert Collins.
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
he must
so
have
great.
Had monster hands to still play guitar after that.
He did.
But.
And of course, I was starstruck that he was, you know, whether he was playing guitar or repairing his bus, he was an impressive human.
A really nice guy, too, apparently, from all accounts.
You've probably talked to Debbie Davies about
Debbie Davies a bit, Jim Gaines, who he did a few albums with. But yeah, they all kind of Because I think he was quite a big guy, but a big teddy bear of a guy.
Yeah, everyone loved him. He was very sweet. He looked scary a little bit, you know? He had a very tough look with that distinguished, those very pointy sideburns.
I always thought that when I first saw him play, and one of the things I loved about him is when he smiled, he had one of those smiles that like lit up his whole face and completely softened him.
Yeah.
Which I was, and then, you know, some of the songs were so silly. I think the first thing I saw was him doing Mr. Collins. But he had his male horn section doing the female part.
Yeah.
Which you could tell he was like really, really enjoying. So I just, that was my first experience of him, and I just thought he was, you know, the sweetest and loved him, so.
Well, what a great inspiration to have. And maybe this is a good time to talk about that Albert Collins model over there.
Yeah, so I have this, so I've wanted it for obvious reasons, which it was actually gifted to me by Joe Bonamassa, because there's kind of a story which I probably shouldn't tell and he hates me telling, but I was in New York once, and this was my dream guitar I'd always wanted. Signature model Albert Collins, and they'd got one in one of the music shops there I'd seen, and it was signed by Albert, and I think they were selling it for about $5,000, which was, you know, I didn't have $5,000, but Joe was in town. I talked to him. He's like, well, look, I've got a name, they probably want me to buy it and take a picture and blah blah blah, and it's like, so I'll come with you, and you know, what do you have? And I was like, I could probably get $3,000. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, well, I'll try and get it for you for $3,000. We went to the shop, they sold him for $3,000, and he kept it. So I was like, I was on the cruise with him a couple of years ago, and I was talking to his dad, and I was like, do you know what he did to me? And he's like, that's disgusting. You're a good friend. And the next thing I know, I was gifted an Albert Collins signature model, which was amazing. And also at a time when, other than this, I really still couldn't afford good gear, you know, so it was made a huge difference, and I love it.
Well, yeah, now you've got two beautiful, T-style guitars,
Albert and Jr.
right up front. And you also have a Les Paul. I don't know, for a while you were playing Les Pauls primarily, and then you sort of went back to the Tele, didn't you? And I'll get out of the way.
I did make a shift, and that, in part, I guess it was kind of Joe and a few friends at the time were playing Les Pauls, and I just kind of got to the point where, and I don't know if you found this as a player, I just was getting idle and, like, bored with my own playing and just couldn't, I was practicing, but I just couldn't find anything new, and so I decided to, maybe just try a different instrument, basically, and kind of spur myself to find some new stuff. And it worked. We were doing the album, my third album, Almost Always and Ever, in Austin, which obviously has a big Gibson plant. And I'm in Dorsey. We went to the office there, and I borrowed one, which I absolutely loved, but they wouldn't let me keep, which was fair enough. It was like a road one, you know, and one of their regular ones. But searched the internet high and low for this, basically, because it was perfect, because it wasn't chambered, but it was quite light, which, being a female and I'm only 5'5", it's carrying 10 pounds of weight on you every day is a bit of a no-no for the old back. But yeah, that's like 9 pounds too. I love the flame on it. It's a little bit lighter because I do like bright guitars.
Yep.
So yeah, I was playing them for a lot, and now I've kind of refound my love of Telecasters, so.
Okay, and during the set, is that sort of a backup at all during your show?
No,
or will
actually,
you play everything?
Yeah, I tend to use Albert as a backup for this at the moment.
Okay.
Particularly after the last album, Albert was featured more because the last album we recorded in standard, which Kevin Shirley wanted to do. So we were kind of, you know, in the set we were jumping guitars because of the tunings. But yeah, at the moment that's used on, there's particularly a song on Reckless Heart called I've Been Loving You Too Long. It's kind of like a Zeppelin heavy blues, so double humbuckers kind of works with that.
Cool. Cool, cool. Well, let's look at the amps because they're right here just beckoning to us.
The big boys. All right, well, here we've got the Bletchley Belchfire 45. So I know you don't know too much about these amps. So they are built by Danny Russell, who's out of Detroit, which is where I live.
Okay.
Kind of built on like a Marshall kind of 50-watt kind of vibe, basically. So this one, the other person who's using these a lot at the moment is Jake Kishka from Greta Van Fleet.
Okay.
And this was actually meant for Jake, because we recorded at the same studio. So it was sent there, and I ended up using it on my album. And Jake didn't end up needing it in the end, so I've stolen it officially. But sounds fantastic, just really. I use it predominantly for the more heavier stuff we do. I don't run them at the same time.
And it looks like a lot of older school amps, it's got a brighter channel and a less bright channel. Mm-hmm. Is that what the one and the two are about on that?
Yeah, they're both quite bright, which I really love. But yeah, basically, yes, one's a lot brighter than the other. I always feel like my fingers naturally sound bright. I think a lot of it is in the playing. But yeah, no, that's exactly what that's for. And then Marshall 70s cab.
Cool. And if you're looking for that Albert thing too, then you need to be bright.
Yeah.
You know, Albert was always bright, which is great.
Yeah, I heard he used to, because he played a Fender bassman, he'd just run his finger along it so everything was on 10, and then reverb 4.
Yeah, and I think he also juiced it up too. I think he had a bigger transformer in there. And some other modifications, but it was head ripping. The first time I saw him, I was about 4 feet away, and it was just like, whoa!
I do warn people, like, tonight, if you were sitting in the front row, you do know this, when you see the amps, you shouldn't be sitting in the front row, I hope.
Unless you really want to be.
Or you're deaf.
Yeah. I love that. I usually sit right in front of the amps myself, for better or worse.
It's loud. It's too loud where I am, and I'm not a loud guitar player, to be honest. But yeah, the Pro Reverb, I tend to like one clean Fender for some of the softer stuff, which actually I'm usually running a 63 Bassman, like piggyback style, which is over there because the speaker's blown. So we're going with the backup, which is a, actually, I don't know what year this is. I think it's a 73 to a mid 70s Pro Reverb. It sounds lovely. Really nice little amp.
Cool. Do you know what kind of speakers are in that thing?
I do not, actually. It's been lent to me by Al Sutton from Ross Belt Studios for this tour.
Okay, cool.
So I don't know, actually.
And do you know about the tubes in the Bletchley? Anything about the
I don't. I mean, I'm not really a gearhead, so I don't. I'd never ask about this stuff, to
that
be honest.
Is completely fine.
You know, and if I do, they tell me, and it just goes. Well, it's like, let me play it, and I'm fine.
Yeah, you know, usually unless something goes wrong, I don't know either. Honestly, you know, you got to go in there and figure out what it is, and then you're confronted with it.
I'm kind of glad I never actually got into it in that way, because then the amount of people or guitar player friends of mine that are such gearheads that. Mm-hmm. They end up spending way more money than I ever will on gear, and it's like, it's one, I'm good with shoes. I've got enough addictions, it's fine.
And I never fool with that stuff either, because I'm sure I'd electrocute myself.
Yeah, that too. But,
well, let's look at your pedal board.
Sure.
It's spare, but it's vicious, judging by the tone during the sound check.
Yeah, I it's one thing, I'm not a pedal player. I like them, but I try and keep it as simple as possible. So basically, with every rig, I'll always have a tube screamer for some extra gain. So, watch my ears. And then keep this one as a extra clean boost, just for solos. So pretty simple, really. Holy Grail Reverb, I absolutely adore Reverb. More of the merrier, vocal and guitar, which annoys a lot of sound guys. But I don't care.
There you go. I like
so
that.
That's pretty much on for the whole, particularly like slow blues, you know. I just think it adds a lot of ambience. And that's pretty much it. The Vibe Machine I'm using on a couple of tracks because we used it on the album. One of them a solo track, the new single, actually Best Thing. Just adds a bit of vibrato, basically.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful solo.
Yeah, so kind of subtle too. Yep. This is new to me, which is kind of, there's one track on the album called Reckless Heart that I play acoustic on, but there's an electric solo, which I really wanted to do live, the solo. So in the UK, we've been running with a guitar tech that plays the acoustic off stage, which obviously is kind of like normal cheat for a lot of bands. But I was playing it on electric originally, and it just was kind of overkill for the kind of track it is. So I just bought one of these on a whim, which, So it kind of suffices that then I can switch back to electric.
Cool. And when you did record that track in the studio, what acoustic did you use?
We used a 1970s Guild that came with the studio. It's an old Al Sutton's guitars, which sounded great for it. It was really quite a big, you know, bright acoustic guitar.
Yeah, it sounds terrific on the album. It really recorded
yeah.
well.
Yeah. I don't own an acoustic. That's the next buy, which is a bit silly at my level that I don't have an acoustic guitar. But hey. Again, not a big shopper.
That's a good thing. ABY box. So are you running the amps parallel at all? Or are you running them each separately?
I run them separately.
Okay.
Particularly for the kind of venues we're playing on this run. It would kind of be overkill without baffles. Occasionally on some of the, on the European rig, I usually have a little one of the 15 watt Blues Breaker Marshalls, which I kind of add in maybe with the Bletchley or with the Fender.
Okay.
But for tonight's purposes and this tour, Bletchley basically for some of the heavier stuff, and then the Twin for the kind of, sorry, the Pro Reverb for some of the cleaner, bluesier stuff.
Very cool.
Best of both worlds.
Very cool. And how much longer are you on this run in the States?
We're nearly done on this little leg. So we do Nashville tonight. We got Atlanta day after tomorrow, Chattanooga, and then we finish in Louisville. And then we're doing a bunch of festivals over the summer, Peach Fest. And
cool.
I think we're out with Government Mule for a couple of shows.
Nice.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
It will be.
And are you looking forward to doing another record maybe later this year?
Not right now. I'm kind of over it.
Yeah.
It's like once you've written like 20 songs for one album. I think later next year we'll talk about, I try and get one out about once every 18 months, every 2 years is good for me. So I think kind of, I'll write a bit this year, but kind of take it lazy and next year.
Well, cool. I look forward to hearing the next one. And thank you so much for doing
this.
No worries,
man. Thank you for coming out.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
I loved it. Thank you, mate.
Thank you.